Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, hear the word of the Lord, where Paul writes, he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." Amen. Wow.
We've been looking at what pleases God. What pleases God? I guess one of the things we could have looked at is praise. And the Lord delights in the praises of his people. But as next week is harvest and then we're into something different, tonight I just want to look once more at this issue of pleasing God. And pleasing God in Christ. That's what I want us to look about, look at and think about. That will cover every aspect of life, of course, as we come to terms and look at that. Do you remember the question that God asked Adam in the garden? "Where are you?" Adam, of course, was hiding, wasn't he? He wasn't where he should have been. The Lord wanted fellowship with him. But through what he'd done, that fellowship had been broken. I put here, he wasn't where God expected him to be. I mean, God knows all things, so that's a bit of a nonsense sentence, really. But he asked the question, didn't he? He asked the question, I guess, for Adam to hear and to respond. Where are you? How can man get back to where he ought to be? Only through God's means of rescue, through his own Son, Jesus Christ. You remember our Lord's wonderful words when he said he came to seek and to save the lost. Only in Christ, only there are we saved. Like Noah's Ark, only on board, only within the ark were they saved. Anywhere else, they were lost. Only in Christ are we saved. Only in Christ is the only place we can please God. And I hope I've tried to stress that as we've worked our way through. I hope nobody's gone away thinking, okay, through my prayers, I can please God in my own strength and my own efforts. And we talked about living justly, walking humbly before the Lord. But again, how can we do that? It's in Christ. The Apostle Paul uses that phrase, doesn't he? Again and again. And as I read Ephesians 1 to you, I was seeking to stress that. It says so much, but if you take away the in hymns, in Christ's, it doesn't make sense. It's only because of Jesus. I was thinking about how the world uses the phrase to be in, to be in. You know, if you're in, part of the in crowd, that's that song, isn't there? I'm in with the in crowd. I go where the in crowd goes. I'm in with the in crowd, and I know what the in crowd knows. If you're on trend, you know, if you're with it, you know, if you're relevant, you're in. Some things are in, some things are now out. And trends go up and down, don't they? They change over time. If you, in this world, if you hang on long enough, you're back in again. If you hold on to what at first perhaps made you out. People talk about being in the know, don't they? Knowledge, having some understanding, being in the know. Oh, if you're in, I've used the word in the club. I don't mean pregnant, that's a colloquialism. But if you're in a club, you're in. Okay, you belong. You know, your face fits, you're there. Positionally, we get into things, don't we? Get in the car. You know, hopefully we're protected by it, surrounded by it. And then, of course, can't get away from a cricket illustration. If you're in, you're not out. And if you're still in, it means you're enduring, you're going on. Well, with perhaps the exception of being trendy, all those could be used of what it is to be in Christ, belonging to him, given understanding of him, being surrounded, protected, covered by him, and enduring to eternal life through him, in them, just in that little word. But I guess the best way to sum it up, and this is the accepted way, is that Paul is talking about in Christ, highlighting our identity with him. That's the thing, to be in Christ. There are verses that speak about Christ being in us, but for us to be in Christ, we're caught up with him. What happens to us happens because of him. All that is his is ours, and we are what we are because of him. The Father sees us as he sees his Son. That's probably the most important thing I'm going to say this evening, all right? So if you're feeling tired, just think that one through and just let that warm your heart through. But of course, the question has got to be asked, first of all, are you in Christ? It's all right saying, oh, this is what it means to be in Christ, but is all that is his yours? Are you what you are because of him? Does the Father see him when he looks upon you with the blessings that we read of in those verses? It makes a big difference, doesn't it, to be in Christ or not? And it's in Christ that we find that divine pleasure, God's pleasure. He's pleased with those in Christ. What difference does it make? Well, first of all, to be in Christ increases our confidence, surely. It says there in Ephesians chapter 1, every spiritual blessing is ours in Christ. We're complete in him. We had that little chorus earlier on, it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. He lives. Jesus is alive in me. The spiritual blessings that flow out to us. We are saved because of him and what he's done. But more than that, he gives us power to live and wisdom and an array of things, a spiritual toolbox, every spiritual blessing in Christ. In those verses, really, you can, well, there are many ways to approach it. You literally could go word by word, but you could divide it into two, salvation and service. And both are tied up with being in Christ. Let me just highlight again, without reading the whole passage, some of the phrases that are in there. It speaks about being adopted as sons through Jesus Christ. In him, we have redemption. He's paid the price. We belong to him. You were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Through what he has done, we are what we are in Christ. And it's not just here, of course, is it? Remember other passages that the Apostle Paul, other verses that you know well. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. What a wonderful truth. In Christ. A new identity, a new creation, a new person. A new heart, a new life, new focus, new heavenly home, new everything. Romans 8, you know it well. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are what we are, and what should have been ours is not ours anymore. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Our salvation, what God has done for us in Christ, is outlined there for us. And also alongside it, service, what you and I can do for him. The mystery of God's will, says verse 9, purposed in Christ. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, it goes on to say in chapter 2 and verse 18. So the very things that we do, our reason for living, our purpose, is all in Christ. When he is our Lord and Saviour, when we are his, he is ours. We could have sung the hymn, we love to sing it, "Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity." Because in Christ, we belong. In Christ, there is that eternal belonging, safety, salvation, wisdom, everything that we need, we can draw upon in him. That should put us in a good position, shouldn't it? A confident position. To face the challenges around us, of course, in coming into the presence of God, we come to the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. The way is open to us. We come with a confidence, speaking about this at Millview during the week, a confidence and a freedom. But more than that, even as we face the world and its challenges and the darkness that is around us, as we seek to serve the Lord, what are we doing? Are we just trying in our own little way to make a little dint, a little difference? Or are we in Christ with all that he provides to do what he wants us to do? Of course, we've got to do what he wants to do, not what just we choose to do. That's another issue, perhaps for another time. But service and salvation, all wrapped up with who we are, who he makes us in Christ. Along with the increasing confidence, secondly, to be in Christ inspires our compliance. Okay, all right, I'm going for alliteration this evening. Confidence and compliance. I probably would have chosen the word obedience if I'd not gone for alliteration. Compliance. To do things God's way. You know, it's said in John chapter 8 and verse 29 of the Lord Jesus' own testimony, his own words, "I always do what pleases him," speaking of the Father. Now, anybody else saying those words would sound very arrogant. "I always do the right thing." But not our Lord, because that is the truth. He did, he does always do what pleases the Father. Children don't always please the parents, do they? In fact, if a child pleases the parents too much, you tend to look and think something's not quite right here. I'm again reminded of that story of the child in the back seat of the car who was told to sit down. Again and again, "Sit down, sit down." Must have been before seatbelts. "Sit down, sit down." So, in the end, he sits down, but then he turns and says, I'm sitting down on the outside, but inside I'm still standing up. And there's a bit of that in us, even in church life. We know what we've got to do, but perhaps there's a little bit of rebellion within us. We'd prefer to be doing it our way. There is, since the fall, since Adam, that difficulty. It's obedience at times seems very unnatural. But to be in Christ, to have a new heart and a new spirit within us, a heart and love for the Lord, to please Him, to serve Him, to do things His way. The fruit of the Spirit we could speak of. His Spirit at work within us, making us more like Jesus. That's an ongoing process, isn't it? That we might be more compliant, obedient in what we do. Just take a moment to consider the compliance of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are two occasions where God the Father commended His Son's obedience with words from heaven themselves. Some thought it thundered, a rumble, but they heard, "This is my Son whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." The first at Jesus' baptism in Matthew 3. You remember Jesus was baptized not for His own sin, but to identify Himself with us. As part of His perfect obedience, He offered Himself for baptism, to dedicate Himself to the ministry that was before Him. No wonder the Father spoke such words of commendation. "This is my Son whom I love. With Him I'm well pleased." And then later, Matthew 17, Jesus' glory revealed. We call it the Mount of Transfiguration. I mean, Jesus' glory was revealed in many ways, if you think about it, in the miracles daily that they saw, in the words He spoke. Ultimately on the cross, in the way He died and suffered and died for us. So much so that John says we beheld His glory. But there was a special occasion, something that Peter particularly must have been so overcome by. He writes about it in his little letter as well. About being eyewitnesses of the majesty of heaven. Where again the Father spoke words of commendation, of love, of His pleasure in what His Son was doing. And He added, "Listen to Him. Listen to Him." Because of course Jesus spoke what the Father gave Him to speak. He was doing that right as well. Doing the right thing, saying the right thing. And here are two examples of that. The compliance of Christ. But what about the compliance of God's children in Christ, you and me? Well, as I say, obedience brings delight to a parent, there's no doubt about it. Sometimes it's rarer than other times. This is not a very profound saying, but, you know, we please God by doing what He asks. We can make Christianity very complicated if we like, but we can make it very simple. Here's the book, follow the instructions. It's not a startling revelation I'm bringing to you, but it's true. In Christ, we're pleasing to the Father because we have seen our need of Him as Saviour and Lord. And from there, the things we do and say, though we're not perfect, should reflect more of our Lord in our lives. Yes, Jesus is our holiness, our righteousness. He's our everything. And in Him, we are seen as righteous and holy, even at the times when we get it horribly wrong. So it's not a case of do your best and it'll be okay. But no, in Christ, we have the best. In Christ, we are the best because He, with His holiness and righteousness, is our, well, more than our representative, but he is our representative on that level as well. In Christ, we know confidence. In Christ, we can show compliance. But if you think this evening so far, it's been a little bit cold or a little bit intellectual, well, let me put some heart in it. To be in Christ impacts or should impact our compassion. Paul would say, and does say in 2 Corinthians 5, the love of Christ compels us. We cannot stop, even though it's tough, even though you Corinthians are driving me mad. We cannot stop. We will not stop. The love of Christ compels us on. The fruit of the Spirit is love. More as well, but it's love. That's the main. Everything else comes out from love, doesn't it? Compliance, yes, but compliance with compassion. It's like duty without devotion. You know, there has to be that devotion to it. And again, look at our Lord and look at the compassion of our Saviour. He never did anything, did he? Just going through the motions. Turn every page in the Gospels, read them through. Everything, you know, it's always tip-top. It's always the best for the person. Now, you might think, oh, yeah, but what about when he was addressing the religious people of the day? Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you. But even that was for their good, was for the best for them. Take your pick, choose any passage. Look and see. Look and see that there is compassion in the words our Lord speaks. Not going through the motions. Not some robot, the Father's told me to say this, so I better say it. But with all his heart. That perfect life, perfect ministry, touching hearts and lives. In life, incredible. What about in death, going to the cross? The words he spoke. To think of all that he thought about of others at such a time highlights the amazing compassion of our Lord. You know, so often it's not only what we do, though what we do is important, but how we do what we do that gets remembered. And it's perhaps ironic or fitting, depending which way you look at it, that it's a Roman soldier who's impressed with Jesus' conduct on the cross. What he did. It wasn't just a case of, here's some tick boxes, I'm going to the cross, I'm now on the cross, I'm going to die. But he went through what he went through for you and for me with a passion, with a love. We call it the passion, don't we? Passion of Christ. What a week, what a time on the cross he spent giving his life for you and for me. This is the compassion of our Saviour, and this is the compassion for us and for this lost world. Through us. I said I was going to mention Hebrews. I've been in Hebrews too much recently, so I'm going to keep away from that in future, for a short time anyway. But in Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 15 and 16, thinking about the compassion of God's children in Christ, it says, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. You often hear said in evangelical circles, and it's true, of course, that you know the sacrificial system is finished. You know, Jesus has offered himself once for all. We celebrated that last week. And it's true, we don't offer sacrifices as they used to do. But there is a sacrifice of praise. We've sung about that. And there is a sacrifice of love, really, of sharing, of ministering to others in Jesus' name. Don't forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. There's a challenge to us, because by definition, a sacrifice costs, doesn't it? You don't get free sacrifices. Nobody makes a free sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. Paul uses the picture of the incense burned as the Romans returned victorious to describe the aroma of each believer, to the godly and to the ungodly. A pleasing aroma in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. A sacrifice, a pleasing sacrifice with an aroma that, yes, to some will be offensive, will be a stench, but to those who are being saved, a sweet-smelling savour. When you think about what it says in Scripture of sacrifice and the aroma of sacrifice, can't help but remember there in Genesis 8, after the flood, the first thing that is offered there is a sacrifice to the Lord. The first sacrifice after the flood. And it's met with that same approval, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, what was it about that? Obviously, 40 days and 40 nights of the flood and all the rest of it. Well, all is now new, isn't it, after the flood? All is cleansed. All is as it now should be. Yes, there's still sin, of course, in Noah's heart and the family, but it's a new start. It's a new beginning. And in the same way in Christ, we are new, made new, a new creation, cleansed, restored in our relationship to God through faith. And so there is that same approval, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Yes, the Lord no longer calls for animals to be slain, but as it goes on to say in Hebrews there, our giving and our sharing is a pleasing sacrifice. God is pleased when we give Him praise. Next week will be wonderful, I'm sure, to celebrate the harvest. It's good to have it visually in front of us. We don't always have things in front of us like that. And so perhaps sometimes we forget to be thankful, or we're not as thankful as we should be for all we are blessed with. We're sometimes a little bit like the 9 lepers rather than the one who came back to Jesus to thank Him for what He'd done. God is pleased when we give help to others. Now, I'm not giving some sort of social gospel message here. You know, the best thing, of course, we can give to anybody is the gospel, because that's what saves. But to seek to do that, sometimes we need to give help to others. Not be like the man in the parable with his barns and bigger barns, storing up for himself, but giving away what we have in Christ. Indeed, what we have from God in every sense. But those words in Hebrews do talk about sharing of the gospel, because they talk about confessing His name, speaking of Jesus, and showing His way to those around us. Not easy in 21st century Britain, granted. But again, a sacrifice, making a sacrifice, a pleasing sacrifice to the Lord. As I come to the conclusion this evening of this message, and indeed this little series, you know, people often have one of two extreme views about pleasing God. They either say, oh, you can't please God. He just, you know, He pleases Himself. You can do nothing. Or the other view is, well, you know, God is easily pleased. Anything will do. But the truth is that all that pleases God is found in Christ. So I'm afraid if you've offered anything other than in Christ, that's brought no pleasure. Like the sacrifice of Cain rather than the sacrifice of Abel, falls to the ground. But through Christ, in Christ, what we offer is pleasing. Our hymns and songs of praise tonight, our prayers, our service, in the strength that he provides, pleasing to God. Prayers in Jesus' name, we mentioned this a few weeks ago. To pray in Jesus' name is not some magic formula that, you know, that makes sure that the prayer somehow gets through. Prayer in Jesus' name really is putting the right dialing tone on your prayer. That if you can ask for it in Jesus' name, when you know Jesus' name and you know his character and you know the things that please him, if you can ask that way, then of course that will please the Father to pray in Jesus' name. In and through Jesus, we have all that we need to please God. As I say, we may be considered rather untrendy in this world. We are. They think, oh, they're misfits. They think they're of a past generation. They don't understand our Saviour's alive. And he can change their lives, their world. We have all we need to please God. And that's the most important thing. You cannot please all the people all the time, as they say. You have to choose. Choose to please God. Choose to do it his way. We've got his word. We've got what he wants from us. You can call them commands, you can call them instructions, you can call them what you like. But I know they're not burdensome when we're in that wonderful relationship with him. As Jesus said, my yoke is light. Come and walk with me in this. Walk with me. And in Christ, we'll please God. So in conclusion, in Christ we are complete. We may not fully appreciate that or demonstrate that, but the truth is there for us. We are complete. We have the desire and the power to be compliant. It's there within us as we let his Spirit guide us and lead us. We have the desire and power to be compassionate. We can go beyond where we have been in the past as we rely again on the Lord and his Spirit within us. And we can know the Father is well pleased if we are all we are in Christ. Remember the baptism, remember the transfiguration, remember the words. I'm well pleased. And remember that parable, well done, good and faithful servants. The pleasure and the delight of the King, the Father, for those who have served him in this way. Let us do all that we can. Let us do all that we do in Christ together. Amen.